There are shows with psychics.
And there are shows with doctors.
But there's no show like The Psychic and the Doc.
Your practical paranormal power unleashed.
This show synthesizes the talents of world-class medium Mark Anthony, the psychic lawyer, psychic explorer,
and street smart spiritualist, behavioral psychologist, Dr. Pat Basile. All subjects are on the table and no topic is taboo. Inspiration, insight,
action, and fun as Mark Anthony connects callers with loved ones in spirit.
In tandem with Dr. Pat's fresh, no-nonsense, street-smart, intuitive insights. And she is hilarious.
Extraordinary problems
require extraordinary solutions, which may come from this side
or the other side. This is The Psychic
and the Doc.
And
it starts now. Tonight, don't we, Dr. Pat?
Yeah, rocking and joyful. Okay, no pun intended. Sorry. Okay, how many of those am I going to do today? Yeah, we had a great guest. Why don't you tell everybody about it, and then we'll talk about her, and then we'll wait for her to not say anything, but we'll talk about her, and then she can come on.
Well, you know, I've been really excited about this guest tonight, everybody. We are privileged to have Karen Joy, who is a psychologist, but she's not just a psychologist. She's been studying the principle of life between lives hypnotherapy. So what she does is she conducts past life regression sessions using hypnotherapy, and she's from the Sunshine Coast of Australia. So she's one of our friends down under, and I understand we have a lot of listeners in Australia. And she has written some amazing books, including her latest, Lost Soul, Wise Soul, How Challenging Past Lives Shape Our Future. So, Karen Joy, I want to welcome you to The Psychic and the Doc.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here.
Look, I love that we're talking with you for a gazillion million reasons. And Mark's right. I mean, many years ago, a psychic came on the show and said, I don't know what it is, Pat, but you're going to have a unique relationship with Australia. And I said, I mean, I didn't even realize it was and I said, well, what do you mean? And he said, I can't tell you, but watch what happens. We have some of the most amazing people. And what is it about that that is so amazing to people like us? First of all, there's an expansive nature. And that's really where I want to start with you. The expansive nature of how you've been able to come forward in the world. And we're going to talk about your books. We're going to talk about what you do. But if you show up as somebody with a show like The Psychic and the Doc, or you show up with Lost Soul, Wise Soul, How Challenging Past Lives Change Our Future, Karen Joy, this question's for you. What challenges, what obstacles did you, Karen Joy, have to overcome to get you right here to this moment?
Well, right from the beginning, it's been pretty challenging. So you're asking me about my history, really. That's what you're asking, yeah? The challenges that I've had. Well, there's been heaps, so I don't think we've got enough time. But where do I start? Well, I've been married almost four times. One without a marriage, but so I've had several relationships, but I've been married now for nearly 30 years. So I've figured that out. But I had a difficult childhood. Unfortunately, there was a lot of incest in our family. There was two perpetrators. So that's some of the, and I blocked that out until I was 40. And then I started remembering what had happened. And I knew I couldn't help anybody. I was already a psychologist and studied psychology, but I knew I couldn't help until something had to clear. And in my 40s, that's what cleared up. It started surfacing. I was one of those people who forget, you know, they talk about how you can repress memory. Yeah. And that came up. So that's been one of my biggest challenges. And I worked in the, your equivalent IRS. I worked in the tax office. And I also, but when I left my relationship, the first relationship, which was very violent, and I had to leave my children. So that was very difficult because in those days, the person who had the money was the one who got the kids. And so that was another challenge I had in my 20s. And then I went and lived in Sydney, and I met an underworld character, and I was sort of in the underworld. I wasn't involved in it myself. I went and studied at university, but my partner was somebody who'd been charged with murder a couple of times and got off in those days because it was corrupt. And so I've had, I think that's covered it broadly, broadly covered my challenges. So there's been a lot there. And yeah, so you're the first lot that have asked me that question.
You know why? Because when I first started this 20 years ago, I was lost. And I think that's what Mark and I do. And Mark does it so beautifully. Is, you know, we've crafted a show that enables people to realize that even though the three of us are sitting up here, we are human beings too. Yeah. We go through things. So, you know, part of hearing that beautiful story, I may have to do a session with you about the whole relationship part, though. I may have to work on that one with you. But part of this is really shining a light on how we get to show up in the world now, just like you do, right, Karen, Mark, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I really appreciate you opening up and showing your vulnerability, because that also enhances your position as an expert in helping people. And, you know, because a lot of times, like when I'm doing a mediumistic session and I'm connecting people with their loved ones in spirit, and, you know, people will say to me, particularly parents who've lost children, you know, why did this have to happen? And there's no easy answer to that. And I'm certainly not for one nanosecond marginalizing what a parent goes through. And, you know, in fact, I think it's important that we talk about this because what happened in Texas yesterday, you know, once again, we're dealing with a mass shooting and once again with children. I mean, you know, I'm sorry, but one child's life is worth more than all the guns in the world, I think. I mean, that to me. But we grow in response to adversity. So Karen, my take is, if you led a picture perfect, happy life, you know, where everything was wonderful, well, how would you grow as a psychologist, and how could you possibly relate to people? And I know that's true because Dr. Pat didn't have an easy life, and I didn't have, you know, an easy life. But then again, who does? You know, who does? And So I appreciate you bringing that forward. So my question is that what led you to hypnotherapy? In other words, did you turn to hypnotherapy to help open up, you know, the deep fissures within yourself and to confront things? What is it that attracted you to hypnotherapy?
I think this happens with most people. You feel attracted to something. And what I became aware of when I was in my 30s, I'd already was studied psychology when I was in Sydney in my 20s, but I needed to do more study, as I said. And I was attracted to a workshop which was by Richard Bandler. I don't know if you've heard of Dr. Richard Bandler, NLP person.
Yes.
Neuro-linguistic programming. And that was on in my city. And I went along to that workshop. And I was like so shut down. I mean, I really was. And that workshop started to open me up. And I did a number of workshops with Richard, who luckily came out to Australia during that time. Pretty interesting character in himself. And so that, and he did a workshop on hypnosis, and that got me interested in hypnosis. So that's where it came from. But I was scared, you know, like I was a pretty big scaredy cat back then.
Yeah.
But I stepped forward and did that. Yeah.
Go ahead, Dr. Pat.
I love that you talked about being scared, because I think about the fear points in my life. And, you know, what's interesting, there's a pop culture phrase now that came out of the whole Dune series books that were out in the 60s, 70s. And it's an interesting phrase. It's like, fear is the mind killer. And I've thought about this for like 40 years. And what I've come to, by the way, at age 40, I don't know what happened, but I woke up one day and I couldn't even recognize myself. But here's the interesting thing I want to ask you about, especially as it relates to your book now and about to lost soul, wise soul. There are moments that we have of awakening And one of the things I realized in a period of time is fear may be the great mind killer, but doubt is the great dream killer. And how does the soul, the wise soul, try to speak to us to help us move beyond the illusion that we may get from fear and doubt?
Well, I think the wise soul, I think we get set up in situations like, I think we get set up in situations, and that is what triggers us. And then we've got the choice, you know, to take the challenge or not. And of course, if we don't take the challenge, we're going to take it sooner or later in one lifetime or another. And what I've discovered from doing the regressions is that we can be very habitual and we can get stuck in patterns. And so it can take a lot to, you know, kick us out, to get us moving, as so to speak. Mm-hmm. Like I had one client who she was told she was doing four lifetimes in one. And I said, what do they mean, four lifetimes in one? And her life was very difficult. And they said, most people have challenges, you know, in one lifetime. Well, you got four times that.
Wow.
So, you know, that was moving her forward. And she'd been stuck for mm-hmm. many lifetimes and hadn't moved forward. And then when she realized that, she took on more, you know, a whole heap, you know, going from one extreme to the other, yeah. like we do as humans. So I'm not sure if that answers your question.
Yes, it does. And Mark, I want you to jump in here, but I was really struck by your beginning of your book and talking about Yvette. I think I've had an Yvette. You know, I've had a situation or a person that shows up, and I love what you said, shows up and it becomes an obsession. You know, you don't obsess on the person, but you find yourself in a situation perhaps you've not been in before. And you realize that there's something outside of maybe what you went to school for, or something outside of something that helps us get so far inside of this life and others. And I want to ask you this because, you know, we study the field of psychology. Mark, you're a lawyer. And yet we study these fields and we realize that sometimes if you're lucky, they have a spiritual or esoteric component. But if you go to the school I went to, they blacklist you for even saying the word crystal. But yet here we are.
Yeah. I couldn't agree more. And then I want to get Karen's insights on this. I mean, certainly when I was practicing law, spirituality and the legal profession, are mutually exclusive in a lot of ways. And, you know, we're supposed to be compassionate and understanding. And I find that the best attorneys or the ones that really make a difference in people's lives are. And, you know, when I went public with my abilities, I mean, basically the profession, many people that I knew turned their backs on me. But I also realized that was one of those adversity points which trigger growth. And it was time for me to move forward. So Karen, following up on what Dr. Pat said, what are your thoughts on this?
Mm. Well, I think that's true. I think stepping out and doing, you know, into what you did, Mark, and is tricky. Look, I'm not actually a psychologist anymore. I had to let that go. I was for 30 years.
Exactly. But
I had to let go of my registration because, yep. you know, you can't do this work, unfortunately, and have that qualification because nope. you'll get into trouble.
Yep.
And my supervisor, I had to go to this supervisor who I went to a professor at the university, and I had to tell him about my cases. And I had cases then when I was a psychologist that were people were going into what seemed like past lives, like they were different era. One said, oh, they all were dressed in a different era costumes, you know, when she went into this experience. And anyway, luckily this professor, he said to me, oh, that's mindfulness CBT. And I thought, thank God there's a name for it. But I mean, that's what he saw it as. He didn't see it as past life, as past lives. But it's like I had to step out too and let go of that. And as you did, Mark, and I don't know where you are with that, Dr. Pat. But...
Oh, I couldn't even begin it. Let me tell you where I am real quick. I graduated and my, one of the people that I actually invited off of my dissertation committee saw me standing with two thunder eggs that I found, and he called them crystals, and he blacklisted me. And then when I came to Washington, I just was naive. I mean, I don't come from an educated family, so I don't know what I don't know. But I thought I can do clinical psychology and we could talk about spirituality. No, absolutely not in the state of Washington, not then, because you couldn't do it. And I had to make a decision. Oh my God, it's like 10 years of school. What now? And I decided I'm not going to practice that. I'm going to shift over. And the smartest move I ever made was cognitive and neuro. I really became fascinated. What does the mind do? How can we integrate that? So my party shut down before it got started. But I'm so grateful for it because how miserable would have I been, Karen?
Yeah,
Really?
exactly. You've got like this is the whole point of this is following, following your truth, and you have to do that. And I guess that's like it's easy for me now. It's fine. I'm at peace with it. But it's hard when you've got to do it. I bet it was hard for you, Mark, when you had to do it.
It was so interesting the way, I mean, it would take pretty much the bulk of the show, and I don't want to because the show's about you, not
Yeah,
about
it
me.
is. It is.
But there were a couple things that definitely directed me onto this path. And I remember I was working my last job in the field of law is working for a government agency, and my first book, Never Letting Go, had come out. And I was in Harvard, and I was going to be giving a talk on it. And my boss called, and he had just lost the election. So, obviously, we're all going to be losing our jobs. And he's going on and on and on. And I said, I'm done. He goes, what? I go, I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore. So go ahead and just accept my resignation. And I hung up and I go, oh my God. And, my manager, Rocky, and she's, one of the producers of the show, she travels with me on tour. I said, I just left the legal profession. Oh my God. And she looked at me and she goes, Mark, take a look around. Where are you? I go, Harvard. She goes, and what are you doing in an hour? I go, giving a talk on life after death. She goes, go with it. And I've never turned back. And I think that for all of us, and I think for everybody, but for the three of us, it may have been a bit more blatant that it felt like a door was being slammed shut, but simultaneously another one, and dare I say, the proper one, the correct one, the right one, open. And in my case, I didn't walk through it. I got shoved through it. And that's where I was supposed to be. And this is where I'm supposed to be now. And that's what, certainly with Dr. Pat, because, I mean, Dr. Pat, if you just done some practice where you're seeing clients and all that, which is great and all, but look, you have global reach now. And the same thing with you, Karen. What you're doing is you left the box of a wonderful profession, but one like law has too many rules, regulations. You can't do this, can't say this, can't. Forget that. We're dealing with spirituality here. We're dealing with energy. We're dealing with the multiverses. I don't need a bunch of rules and regulations tying my hands when I'm really trying to help people.
You know,
Absolutely.
one of the things, Karen, Mark, that what you're talking about, when you step into Karen, what I look at what you put in this book for sure. And I just want to say for those of you that are tuning in, if you're kind of popping in late right here, we have just most incredible Karen Joy joining us here today. Her latest, let's say, incarnation is Lost Soul, Wise Soul, how challenging past lives shape our future. It's so brilliantly said. One of the things I was really fascinated throughout the book, and I think you start in the beginning, you call it the arc of our soul journey. And I thought, I have not heard that. And that got me, right? That's like, you had me at hello. And when I started to read about that, I thought, so many people feel this. And yet, we don't give ourselves permission to step into the space of it. Aren't there challenges for people where they know and they just have this sense of, I mean, okay, to quote The Matrix, deja vu, something that through psychology and sessions just doesn't get at. And yet, what you talk about in the book, not only does it get at it, but doesn't it allow for understanding the art to carve a pathway of freedom for people.
Exactly. Yes, and they're the people who I would believe would be attracted to the book, the ones who need at that stage, I guess, of development where they need to understand what's really going on. And there's a lot of people confused about what's going on.
Yeah.
But it is the arc. That's the difference of this to a lot of other books about regressions, is that it is from, I'm trying to track the beginning. Now, I'm not saying it's everybody's exactly the same, but it just gives you that beginning from right at the beginning when we start coming to the planet, incarnating, and then we go on our journey and the challenges that we have. And it helps us understand when people do get lost and do terrible things. It helps us, gives us that understanding, if we're ready to hear it, about why these things happen and the struggle to get out and the guilt and the trauma that we carry with us quite often until we get free. Yeah. So that's what it is. That's right. It is. It's the arc. It's the whole journey that I've tried to track with my clients. Like, these amazing people came to see me and went into these past lives. And I'm not sort of getting the same people now. It's a little bit different, but it's almost like I get what I need and I believe that's true. So these people came and helped me to tell the story.
One of the terms that you use in the book, you reference spiritual guides. Now, certainly, you know, Dr. Pat and I are familiar with the term, but for our listeners who may not be familiar with the term, what do you mean by a spiritual guide?
Well, we're told that we have guides, like, and that means somebody on the other side who's guiding us on our journey and giving us the nudges that we get from time to time, you know, the little nudge, like the people who come to see me or who are listening to this show, they get a little nudge. And so that's what I think the guides are. Now, who are they exactly? I believe they could be like spirits. Actually, you know, I'll tell you a little story there. I had a client come to me recently who had cancer. He had pancreatic cancer, which is pretty terrible. Yeah. And he came in and he looked pretty healthy. This is about a year ago. He looked pretty healthy. And I thought, oh, maybe I can help him so that, you know, maybe we can get something so he gets past it. So he goes in into the trance and he asks that question somewhere as we go through it about, you know, what's going to happen and why has he got this cancer? And he's told, he said, because you've finished, you've done what you needed to do. You're only 62, but you're done. So the next thing, for some reason, I had this thing to ask him, what are you going to do on the other side? And he said, I'm going to be a guide. And I thought, oh, wow. And I was like, I think it even brought tears to my eyes. He didn't know what a guide was. His wife had suggested he come and see me, and he hadn't read anything. He knew nothing. He was an engineer, and he was told he was going to be a guide. I asked him, like, what were you like in your life? He said, oh, all these people are ringing me up and talking to me and sending me messages since they found out about the cancer, about how I've helped them in their life. So that was a guide. And what I understand is that some of these guides do need to come down to find out what it's like here, incarnate every now and then to find out what it's like to be here and how tricky and difficult it is. So some people have relatives, but that was one. He came and he passed in February this year. He hasn't, I said to him, you better, you know, drop in and see me, but he hasn't yet. I'm still waiting, hoping he's going to drop in through one of the clients and, you know, let me know that he's there. So I don't know if that answers your question, Mark, but it seems like there's any sort of iteration almost. You know, people can be relatives or, I don't know, all sorts of different, maybe.
Yeah. Oh, no, that's been my experience. And that's why I wanted to get your take on it. And I also read in your book that you provide guidance about connecting with guides. Now, can you briefly describe the process, you know, and is this something that anyone can do?
Oh, yes. In the early part of the book, I give a few exercises that can help people as they're going through the book, because it can be challenging, you know, when we're going into the darker parts of our experiences. Yes. So to connect with a guide, it's just calming down, very, very breathing, slowing down, resting, opening, like getting opening up in the sense of expansion to connect with your guide. And it's all about trust, you know, it's about trust. Like, even if you don't get anything, it's important to trust that they're there. And, you know, they are there. They're there for us. And if we want to, if we're communicating with them, they're there. And if we're pushing them away, I think, you know, they're moving away a bit if you're not responding to them. But you can, they're there for, everybody's got a guide, I believe.
Karen, you just did something really beautiful that I want to comment on. When you were describing that, you closed your eyes and the timbre of your voice changed. It was just beautiful, and it made me feel more relaxed. And it also made me think of a reading that I did last week, and several readings where people say to me, they go, you know, I want to connect with my loved ones, and I just can't seem to do it because I really want to have a spiritual experience, and I want it right now. And I'm like, yeah, that's not how it works.
How true. How true. Yeah. And we're all, so many of us are so busy and rushing around and trying to make things happen and fearful, like Pat. You mentioned that before, Dr. Yeah. Pat, about the fear that gets in the way. You know, yeah. we're trying to make things happen all the time and instead of going with the flow. And yeah.
You know, I want to just ask you this question because many people may know this, but there are people that tune in every day. I mean, this is a particular book where I said this to you before. The minute you use the term arc, I had a visual. And you know, part of that is because I'm a little bit learning different. That's what they call us now. But I want to talk about a discovery that was very hard for me to believe, and then I believed it. And it's the, and I think it's core to what your book is about, but also to what you do. And that is this idea, in common sense, here's what we say. You ready? Your past and what happens in your past may affect where you are today and where you go in the future. Now, we talk about that. We don't quite say it that way. We say other things like, oh, my God, you know, I got hit in the head when I was 10. Therefore, that's what's wrong with me today. But this is about now, if people could get that the our past lives have an influential account on who we are today and who we, may I say it, might become. Can you talk of that discovery and the way that you approach that in the book? Because see, if I think we knew that, if we could really get that, we'd be flooding your calendar to get some relief, wouldn't we?
Well, yes. Well, the way I really discovered that myself was when I was a psychologist and I used to get people to go into their emotions, right? Like, so, and often they walk in and they're ready. Some of them are just ready and they start crying. So I always went with that, right? As soon as they're in their emotional state, I'm going to go with it. I'm not going to pull them out of that. Now, a lot of therapists get uncomfortable with that, but I go with it. So I'm going with that with people. And so the next thing, I had one client, for example, who I asked her, I think this is the best one to tell you. There's so many of them, but this one really woke me up to what you're saying about how the past has an influence. I saw her for quite a while and we went through her childhood and we went through everything. And she was one of these people who had to help people. She, you know, she, it was a bit of an outside, what you call the outside angel, but in home, she's a bit of the devil, you know, like she's not there so much for the family, but she's got to help everyone out there. And the family were complaining. And this day her husband came and he said, look, you know, you still haven't fixed her, sort of thing. And I thought, well, we've been through everything, childhood, everything. And she was just sitting there and I said, so why do you have to help people? What would happen if you didn't? That was the thing I said. And she said straight away, she was in a bit of a relaxed state. She said, they'll die. And I thought, well, they're not going to die if you don't make the costumes for the, you know, for the concert or whatever. So I know that, but I'm not going to go down that track. See, a lot of people would go down the logical track. So I didn't. I went down the emotional track. So in what way? What would happen? And she just closed. I said, just close your eyes and tell me what would happen. And she, next thing, she was in a village where these marauders are coming, and the marauders are coming towards them, and she's trying to hide people. She's one of the elders of the village, and she hides them in a barn sort of thing, and they all get found and killed. And she gets killed too, and she dies at that moment. absolutely devastated, believing that she's done the wrong thing, that she wants to help people, but she hasn't. And she just cried and cried and cried. And then I said to her, well, maybe it wouldn't matter where you hid them. You know, maybe it wouldn't have mattered that was going to happen. And that freed her. So that was the beginning of me then realizing how much the past life, how much it can have an influence on the present. Because I'd done everything that I could possibly do as a psychologist with her. And that was the beginning of my journey where I started encouraging people to go into, not past lives, into the emotion and explore the emotion and whatever came into their mind. For years, I was doing that work without doing any hypnosis, really. It is hypnosis, but, you know, it's not putting them in a trance deliberately. They put themselves into a trance. So it's happened to me, like, I can't tell you, hundreds of times before I even started doing the
It's so beautiful in the way you do the book. And I think, Mark, why don't we take a short break? I just want to tell everybody, if you have a question for Karen, come on, give us a shout, 1-800-930-2819. When we come back, we're going to talk about something interesting that is related to the book, that is related to Karen, but also related to Mark. And so when we come back, you know, let me give you Karen's website and I will give you like a little hint about what the phrase is, everybody. So let me just give you a hint. Life Between Lives, regression.com.au. So think about this phrase, life between lives. Take that in. What does that say to you? You want to know more about it? When we come back, we're going to take this journey as Karen does, Karen Joy does, when she introduces us. No, it's an invitation. If you go through her book, you'll see it is an invitation to a pathway to freedom that those of us that have been so stuck in the early part of our lives would never have achieved without this insight. And just so you all know, thanks to our friends at Llewellyn, I want to thank you. I take a short break. When we come back, everything there is for you to look at on Karen's website, what she does, testimonials, things we're talking about, how you can schedule time, podcast. It's all there. When we come back, what does it mean? What is that phrase? Life between lives. Regression. Stay tuned, everybody. Jessica, we'll be right back.
Sometimes being human has its challenges. Our physical health falters, our spirits sag, our dreams don't immediately come to fruition. Welcome to the power of Maximum Medicine Radio. Join me, Doc Martin, in conversations that will blow your mind about healing. In our hit show, Doc Martin addresses the scientific with bridging to the mystical approaches to give you a new narrative about maximum medicine. In this live call-in show, we will journey into the extraordinary genius of the human body and talk about other beliefs that impact being your multidimensional self. We seek the seen and the unseen and explore the earthbound and the otherworldly, all with the purpose of calling forth the maximum you. To learn more about Doc Martin and Maximum Medicine, visit www.SharonMartinMD.com.
Have you known that you're on a soul path, but often wondered why you don't have the insight of how to go from here to there, or whether or not what you're doing is going to take you to where you want to go in your soul's journey? Damayante is the show for your soul. Damayante speaks to your soul, connects with your soul, and shines a light for your soul. Damayante, the show for your soul with Sarah Main, brings you insights and a pathway to your soul's journey on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Hey, everybody, welcome back. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. It's so great, Mark, right? I mean, crazy.
Oh, I'm just right? loving tonight's show.
Oh man.
And you know, we are open for calls because there's a lot of people that feel they've had a past life or they have something that lingers. For example, some people are terrified of the water. Okay. And there's many people, and certainly Karen, that, you know, doesn't that indicate that perhaps in a past life, maybe they drowned?
Yeah, quite possibly. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting releasing them from that because they are afraid. They've got that fear. And when you take them into it, they're in the water, they're drowning, they're fearful. And then just an encouragement to let go because they haven't really died in a way. It's like their psyche hasn't died because they're still struggling. And when they're struggling like that, you just tell them that, look, let go. And then they go to the most beautiful peace because death is actually quite beautiful. And so, yes, that's right. Yeah. And it's a wonderful feeling to release them from that. I can tell you, it's great.
I want to just say to everybody, your book is available everywhere pretty much, right? I want to get people back to your website because one of the things I love, I say website. I mean, you know, like Jessica says, we don't say website anymore, Pat. We just say site. But the reason I want people to go here is because this is a short interview. Mark and I can feature things in the book and have a great conversation with you, but the depth and the breadth of the gift and the talent you've brought into the world to help people, they're going to be able to get a different sense of you. And it is that phrase, lifebetweenlivesregression.com.au, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
That phrase, reading the book was one thing. But then I'm like, what? Now, Mark, you get it because that's where you live, right?
Right.
Life between lives regression. Can you talk to the depth of that and how that does get people on a pathway to a future of freedom?
Well, the life between lives is exactly that, the incarnations, and then there's a place we go in between. And I think of it as being all around us at different levels of vibration, and we go to where we're vibrating, you know. If we're lost, like, I hate to mention it, but I'm going to say that person who did those terrible things yesterday, who died, he's gone to a very low level of vibration because of all the hate and anger and everything that's those emotions that are there. Whereas those others have gone up higher to the higher levels of vibration. That's the life between lives. And yeah, it seems that from what I gather and when I've been up there, like I visited my father after he died up there and others, that it's a place of the higher vibrations, beauty, love, like there's hospitals, there's people wake up and my father didn't even know he was dead. So that's the life between lives. That's where we go in between our lives at the end of our life. Mm-hmm. And there's different, my understanding is different level of vibration that we will be attracted to. Now, I don't know how that fits with you, Mark. That fits
completely. My latest, all three of my books, Never Letting Go, Evidence of Eternity, and most recently, The Afterlife Frequency, talks about frequencies. And I, you know, the other side's like, you know, let's say the FM radio band, and there's not just one station, there's several levels of frequency there. And one of the talks that I gave recently, it was called the NDE zone, the near-death experience zone. And I talk about how the other side is FM radio, we're AM radio in our world, and where we have these contacts, the life between lives is in the zones in between. But my theory of the electromagnetic soul explains how what you're talking about, along with people who have near-death experiences, mediumistic contact, shared death experiences, deathbed visions, they all occur in the zone between the two dimensions, which is essentially frequency overlap. And so you're describing it. We're talking about the same thing using just a little bit different vernacular. And I think that that's fascinating because what I've seen, Karen, is in all the work that I do as a near-death experience researcher and as a medium, and then working with people like yourself and with Dr. Pat, and then people who've had shared death experiences, plus doing the readings, is that's what it is. Everything is about frequency. And I know that your work turns very heavily to science. It's one of the things that I was excited about having you on the show, because none of this is hocus pocus or magic. It is all explainable through quantum physics, and everything on a subatomic level, everything has a different vibration. And so when our body, when our soul, what I call the electromagnetic soul, because it's pure electromagnetic energy, because everything is on the quantum level, leaves this body, then it's vibrating at a higher frequency than these bodies. And so we're able to interface with them. You know, people say, well, that's impossible. That's crazy. And, you know, my response is, okay, then try to go back in time to the year 1910 and explain a microwave oven to somebody. That would have been as far-fetched to them as what we're talking about now, except now we have the benefit of advanced quantum mechanics, which is beginning to prove all of this. And so what you're doing with your clients and with your regression therapy work is essentially raising your vibration to come between these two dimensions, ergo what Dr. Pat so eloquently said, the life between lives.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah.
You know, I agree. When I listen to both of you talk, I'm really struck by this. I really consider myself a student of so much. And I think it's because of the way you described that 40-year mark where something happened. But one of the things, as I was reading your book, I went back over and started to read your book again, is there's something you said. Can I read a part from your book? Do you mind if I read this little paragraph?
Okay. Of course. Go ahead, please. Okay.
So there, I don't know what part of the book this is, but I had to read it back. And here's what I loved. See, Jessica and the team said, why did you start a positive network? And this is why. As souls new to Earth, we are filled with hope and excitement. We are keen to experience this place of beauty and extreme contrast. We have been nurtured and lovingly schooled. Our preparation has included practice in simulations on gentle planets. But the non-physical lacks the heavy vibrations of Earth. We come here as naive souls inhabiting sensitive bodies, not knowing how to live in a place of such rich contrast. Being too ignorant to make wise decisions, we choose life experience that will help us adjust to Earth energies. Yeah, that is, I just love that. But the way you phrased it says, you're not right, you're not wrong, you're not good, you're not bad. It is a perfect explanation of why trauma exists, contrast exists. And then the rest of the book, you help us understand how to work through that. That is such a beautiful understanding of this. And yet, I wonder if we're up for the challenge of being free.
Oh, well, exactly. But it's a journey, isn't it? Dr. Pat, it's a journey.
Oh, my gosh. I keep saying I don't want to come back, but then, you know I know I will come back. But, you know, I don't want to come back and redo some of the stuff, right? I don't think I will. I don't think many people do. But sometimes we look at our lives and the overview is so daunting. And I'd like you to talk to the fact that past life regression and your book, you know, look, you can eat the whole avocado or you could eat half or you can slice it and eat a slice. And I think the misunderstanding with Mark, with what you do, and I think sometimes past regression, is people don't have an understanding about what will be revealed is exactly what should be revealed.
Yeah, it's what you need at the time.
Thank you. Can you talk to that? Because if people understood that, they wouldn't be, oh my gosh, I have 50 years of trauma that I got to go through. What if it all, right? Yeah.
No, not at all. Okay. And we're not given it all at once. You know, it's a journey. It is a journey. To something you said there about, let me just think for a moment. It's a journey where we're not going to get everything at once. And when you're talking about the challenges, and there are challenges, I really think what we're trying to do, this is what I believe anyway, and I'm not sure if this is right for everybody, but what I think we're trying to do is to enjoy the beauty of this place and get to that point where we can. So coming back, when we've had a whole lot of lives, you know, of trauma and difficulty trying to work out how does this place work, I think then it is daunting, the idea that we're going to come back and have other incarnations. But I think what we're trying to do is to get to that stage of development where we can enjoy the beauty, because there is a contrast here, and that's how it works. You know, like the contrast itself is what creates the beauty. And so we go down that dark path trying to work out how can we live in this place? How can we be here and enjoy and be loving and not pick up a whole lot of, you know, karmic sort of stuff, and really love the place and really enjoy the place? So that's when people say, I don't want to come back again, I think, oh, what about if you came back and it was great and you,
thank you,
loved it, enjoyed it, and you got to that stage of development?
There's a belief now, the Hindus have been studying reincarnation for basically 5,000 years. And among Hindus, there's a belief that your next life would be in what you and I call the past. And it's interesting because I think it was Nikola Tesla, and there was a couple other quantum physicists who said that they wish they'd been introduced to Hinduism sooner, because the way it presents and discusses energy seems to be in conformity with quantum physics. And on the subatomic level, on the quantum level, it is theorized, and this has been since Einstein all the way up to, you know, people like Max Tegmark today and Stephen Hawking, that there is no time on the quantum level. And that's one of the explanations why during a reading, spirits can bring up not just past events, but future events. So, have you ever come across anything in your work in regression therapy that the possibility of somebody's next life being in what we call the past?
No, I don't think so. I've had people have a life and then been told what's going to happen in their next life. Right?
See, there we go. Yeah.
I have had that happen, where they've been reassured, if you like, that what they're going through is worthwhile because they're going to have a better life. But yes, but it's very confusing to me still. I'd say I haven't really conquered the time thing, because I know in this dimension, like where we are here, things are slowed down and they're one thing after another, and that's the way it plays out. But I know on the other side, life, apparently time is a lot faster. Like so what seems like a year can feel like a week. That's what I've understood, and people and many clients have said that. But how it actually works, that it's that there's no such thing as time, I think it is just the present or something like that. But I don't really know. But look, you've got me here, Mark, because you're taking me into the areas.
I wasn't trying to.
This is good.
Something. Yeah, that I've been really fascinated with, you know, because, you know, we always think about our next life being, you know, in the, you know, the future, but perhaps our next life could be in the past. It certainly would make for a good movie or a novel, you know, but I've always been curious about that. And that's what the difficulty is when studying this, because, you know, as a medium, as a past life regression therapist, we are communicating with, but because we are currently in finite bodies and our eternal soul, electromagnetic soul, is restrained by the finite perceptive capability of a brain, we are not capable of understanding the infinity that is the other side. You know, and that's one of the, I don't want to use the word frustrating, let's say limiting things when dealing with this. And I think that you're saying the same thing. It's like, you know, you get confused. Well, who couldn't? <You know? laughs> I mean, it's like, here, understand everything. And it's like, everything's a lot, you know?
I got to tell you, Mark, along those lines, right, Karen, you should talk to this because it's really in your book. I had to do a second take when you got to the part in a book about a transition, the transitions, lost souls. And I'm like, what? What soul can be choose to be lost and found? You didn't stop there. I love that you put this after the part about vampirism. Yeah, about vampires. I love that. I love that you gave us that. But now you take us and you talk about, wait a minute, lost souls can return to Earth. Because you see, there is an idea that no, we lose all freedom of choice. Once we lose the Earth skin, we have no choice. Conceptually, people believe this. They do. They believe once we the Earth skin and we're wherever we go, we're in the hands of something else. Like, we don't have any choice. But then you take us on this really fascinating view of stubborn souls, lost souls, damaged deeply. I have never seen in a book so many beautiful explanations of this. And then I realized when I got to the next chapter, I am haunted by the image in the book, haunted by that image, that black and white image that you put in the book. And I'm like, so your book is telling people it's not one way, it's not two ways. There are options here.
Yep, definitely. Many, many options. I don't think there's one way of doing it. It's different for each soul, but there's choice. There is choice, and that seems to be sacrosanct. And because without choice, the whole idea of evolution sort of doesn't make sense in terms of the soul evolving, because we make choice and then we suffer the consequences of that life, or we enjoy the positive things of that choice, and that's how we learn. But it's a pretty tricky thing that we're dropped into this. It's like we're dropped into this system, whatever you want to call it, this Earth system, and then we've got to figure out how it works. And so that's what I've tried to do here with the book, from what I've learned, to try and help people to understand how it does work and if it resonates with them. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that answers your question.
Yeah, and I think, Mark, don't you love the beauty that almost every page there are direct story quotes, every paragraph. It's beautifully done in a way that people can stop and say, wait a minute, now I'm going to learn about Gisella, right? Mark, You deal with this all the time, right? Options,
right.
Choices. When you hear Mark do a reading, that is at the core. You know, he will guide people through, does this relate to you? Does that relate to you? Right, Mark?
Yes. And, you know, the gift that we have is free will. And, you know, with Dr. Pat, you were saying about one where we shed this earth skin, there's a belief that, okay, we don't have any free will. That's not what I've seen. You know, spirits are they're not just invisible humans. They're quite a bit more than that, because they have the capacity for infinite perception. And this idea that, you know, reincarnation is just, you know, you go up and you bounce back and you go up and you bounce. No, it's so much more complex than that.
Yeah, definitely more complex than that. Yeah. With the time thing you mentioned before, Mark, I was just going to say that what I've followed Thomas Campbell. Have you heard of Dr. Thomas Campbell? He was a NASA scientist, and so he believes it's a virtual reality, and that sort of resonates with me a bit, and that time, we have to have time to evolve. Like here on the planet, we've got this idea of time, but what happens? You know, I'm not sure what happens other places and on the other side so much. So that's all I can say is that's what I'm sort of followed his idea of time.
I'm always asking spirits, you know, during readings, like, all right, so what's this? And sometimes they'll give us answers, but they always do this. Why don't you focus on what you're doing there? You know? And it's like, yeah. But I want to know what's going on there. And I get the impression from them that because we are in a finite world and limited by finite perception, and we're supposed to be going through these situations, that this is where our focus needs to be. And basically what they say is when you get here, then you'll know what it's like, you know, but that doesn't end our insatiable curiosity as seekers.
Yeah. Wow. First of all, thank you for joining us here today. I cannot believe the hour has gone by so quickly.
I know.
I just really can't.
It's like time has no time.
I know. I want to remind everybody, first of all, the book is available on Amazon, Lost Soul, Wise Soul. Karen Joy, very special guest today. Not only can you get the book, you can also get the Kindle version. And there is a part of the book which we didn't talk about, and I'm hoping that you will come back that we can. But thank you for today. Again, I want people to make sure they connect with you outside of this interview, and they can go to lifebetweenlivesregression.com.au. Karen, I've got a last question for you and Brian B. Marquez. I would love to know your personal message. I would really love to know what you'd like to leave people with today.
Oh, that's good. That's very good. Let me think for a moment. Look, just that we're on this journey to be connected to our higher self and our guides, and it really is about love and being open and accepting, but we're building the strength to get to that. So my message is this, that we get to a point where we surrender and we can allow things to happen. And on the way there, there's a lot of, you know, there can be a lot of trauma and a lot of difficulty, but that's where we're going. I just want to give them that message of hope that where we're going to is a place of beauty, a place of love, a positive place, and on the planet, not just after we leave, but on the planet.
Mm. Mark?
Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. And we're going to be back next week. The Psychic and the Doc will be on call next week. I think we're doing a call-in show next week.
I think we are too.
Yeah. So everybody that tuned in tonight, keep tuning in. Mm-hmm. Karen, it has been a joy, pun intended, to have you as our guest. And as Dr. Pat said, I look forward to you returning.
And I have to answer the text message from one of our listeners. I'm sorry. Okay. What did we not talk about? Chapter 12. It's called Spiritual Surrender. You'll get the book and you'll see what I'm talking about. Karen, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, no, that's all. I just wanted to say thank you. I just wanted to thank you both. It's been a great pleasure. And I'd be very happy to come back sometime.
Super. Fantastic.
All right. I want to thank everybody out there for tuning us in. You're the best audience on the planet. I got to give a shout out for Jessica for stepping in here. Of course, Linda and Rocky for making all this happen. But, you know, all of you out there, you inspire us to do exactly what we do. I know you must have inspired Karen to write the book she's written and to show up in the world with all of our gifts and all of our talents. Be well, everybody. We'll see you next time.
Hey, everybody, thank you for tuning into The Psychic and the Doc with Mark Anthony and me, Dr. Pat Basile, right here on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Hey, look, come back next week so we can explore with you more of life's many challenges and learn from fascinating guests. And you know what? Even Mark and me. We'll connect you and discover insights from people in this life and from the afterlife. Extraordinary problems, yeah, they do. They require extraordinary solutions. But step into the world of possibilities with us on The Psychic and the Doc. That's every Thursday, 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on TransformationTalkRadio.com. That's TransformationTalkRadio.com. And don't forget, we're also live face-to-face on Facebook.com, Transformation Talk Radio.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.